stewardship. Definition should be up for those watching online, but for those of us here, stewardship. The act of taking care, good care, of something for someone else. Simple definition of stewardship. The act of taking good care of something for someone else. Beloved, you and I are stewards of many things. Last week we talked about being stewards of a song. In fact, a catalog of songs that each of us has, songs that we hold as precious, that we take care of and share with others. And this morning I want us to think about being stewards of space. Now, it would be very easy to talk about being stewards of a physical space. This church, this sanctuary, has been here for a long time, but people have cared for it. They've been good stewards of this space so that you and I would be here in a pleasant setting. Jackie, I could talk about you being stewards of your jewelry space where you sit and make your jewelry, a space you take care of so that you can make beautiful creations and give to others. Elaine, same thing. Talk about your art studio. We could talk about being stewards of that space. Or Heloise, you're stewards of a classroom. You take good care of that physical space so your students might get what they need. Ted, you have a boat. You're a good steward of that boat. You take good care of it because you want to pass on to those granddaughters an understanding of nature, an understanding of appreciating nature. I could go on and on. There are people in this building and certainly who have joined us who take very good care of physical space, who steward it for those who will come around them and those who will come after them. But there are other kinds of spaces. There are other kinds of spaces that we steward. And while the physical spaces are important, it's not the end, it's not the all. Beloved, each of us stewards other kinds of spaces. I walk into the world as a soon-to-be 64-year-old, so that means I'm a boomer, black woman with glasses. I steward a certain kind of space. I fill a certain kind of space based on who I am. And so do you. You steward space if you're male or female. You fill that space in a particular way. You steward space if you're Democratic or Republican. You steward space if you're progressive or conservative. You steward space if you are able-bodied or differently abled. You steward space in a way that is different if you are gay or if you are straight. You steward space with it, whether you're black or white. You steward space. You step into the world and you fill space in a particular way. And now, our nation, our beloved nation, has somehow fallen into this space where if you steward space in a way that's different than I, then all of a sudden we draw lines and we make divisions. If I steward space as a particular kind of woman and you steward space as a different kind, we might not even find ways to talk to one another. We have found ways to divide, not come together, and it is killing the soul of our nation. What would it mean if we learned how to steward space differently? What would it mean if we saw the way in which we filled space, occupied space, not as division, but as opportunity to learn? Because remember, to steward is to hold something, to take good care of it for someone else. However you fill space, whatever beliefs or thoughts or ideology you bring into the world that is your space, you want to care for it so that you might pass on your beliefs and your strength and your legacy to these generations that come behind us. And I dare not stand here and tell you that how you steward space when it's different than mine is wrong. That's not my place. However you come into the world to steward your space, however you hold that, here's what I want to tell you. We've got to steward it well. That definition is important. We have to take good care of it, that we might pass it on to those who come behind us or come around us. So how do we steward our ideological, our metaphysical spaces well? Because we have very few models around us now. I think the answer to how we steward those spaces well is found in the 8th Psalm, the one that you heard Kim read. And as she was reading, I wish I had had her read more. Because in the 8th Psalm, this is what you hear. The writer says, in the vernacular, God, what, when I look at the heavens, when I see the moon and the stars and the jeweled lights that you shine, when I look at the work of your hands, this is my translation of the text, I seem so small. Your universe is so beautiful and so vast. You are a macro God and I am a mini human. This is beautiful and I'm so small. Because the writer says, what is humankind that you even think of us? What is humankind that you have anything to do with us? Beloved, here in that understanding of the beginning of the 8th Psalm, this willingness to see the greatness of God and the smallness of humanity. Here in that beginning portion of the psalm, the writer saying, I'm finite, I am limited. The writer doesn't use the word sinful, but I would tell you that embedded in that, in those words, is this sense that I'm not only finite, I'm not only limited, I'm not only incomplete, but I am so not God. I am so not God. I am so prone to make mistakes. I'm so prone to sin. God, you did all of this and you think about us? How do you steward spaces? I think the first part is to understand how small we are, how much in need of grace we are. But that's not it. The second part follows up when the psalmist says, but you have given us humanity. You have given us dominion. And that word actually means stewardship. You have given us stewardship over everything that you've created, over everything that you've put under your feet. Here's how we steward spaces. In the same moment that we recognize we are small and finite and prone to sin and in need of grace, in that same moment, we realize that we are chosen and beloved and set apart by God to order and to steward everything that we see. How do we steward spaces? We enter it with humility. Because the best definition of humility I have ever seen is to occupy your God-given space in the world, accepting your finite, sinful self, and embracing your chosen, graced, and beloved self. The best definition of humility I know is to see yourself as God has made you, wonderful and fearfully made, and prone to not get it right. To be humble is to neither overestimate or underestimate yourself. To be humble is to know that just like Jackson, you are deeply, deeply, deeply loved, and the God who made you, the God who loves you, the God who fills you with spirit knows that we're not going to always get it right. The definition of humility is I am God's chosen and I am in need of God's grace at the same time. So when we enter spaces with humility, instead of entering them thinking, from my perspective as a 64-year-old black woman, I'm right, it's real easy for me to get to that place. Should have heard me on the phone with nurses this morning. But when I understand that I enter that space fully made in God's image, fully made in God's likeness, with God's Spirit in me, I also am in need of God's grace. I also may get it wrong. Whatever space you occupy, however you define yourself, God calls us to be stewards of that space, to hold it carefully, to cherish it, to see it as precious. Who you are and how you enter the world is precious in God's sight. But we, each of us, has to hold that space with a humility, with an understanding that we're not going to have it all right. There is a preacher in the American Baptist world. His name is Tony Campolo. Some in this room have encountered him, I know. Tony, you never want to sit within 10 feet of Tony because he gets so passionate he spits everywhere. You want five rows back. He is a firebrand. What he believes, he virtually screams. I have been in the man's presence a dozen times. He's so passionate about how he is formed and the space he occupies and what he might share with the world. He's so passionate about how he holds his beliefs and shares them. I've seen him on stage just reduced to shouting. But every time I have encountered Dr. Campolo, every time I have seen him speak, at the end of his occupying of his space, he says, "But I might not be right." He says, "I could be wrong." For me, that is this marvelous definition of humility. To hold my space and to articulate what I believe. To hold my space and to cherish it because I want to pass it on to those who I love. I want to pass it on to those who come around me. To hold my space with integrity and then to say, "I might not have it all right. I might be wrong." Beloved, in Paul's letter to the church at Philippi, Paul describes Christ in this way, that he did not count it against God, but that he came and humbled himself, taking on the form of a human, humbled himself toward the death of the cross. If Christ might humble himself, if Christ might enter space humbly, with humility, then it's a good record for us to do the same. I guarantee you, in the next 28 days as we head toward this election and on the other side, there will be moments when you want to shout and scream and stand in your space, occupy your space, steward your space so you can pass that on. But I would ask you in this moment if you would understand that occupying that space with all of its passion requires humility. Because if we have humility, there'll be fewer jagged edges and more growing edges. If we have humility, there'll be less shouting and more dialogue. If we enter and occupy and steward our spaces with humility, there'll be less hate and more love. The writer of 1 Peter says, "Come, but humble yourself under the hand of God. And then in due time, God will raise you up." Every space you occupy, everywhere you go, who you are is needed, or God would not have sent you. Every place you go, every place you occupy, every space you steward, you are necessary. But like my friend Ted said, would say, you are also insufficient. And the sufficiency comes from our God. And it comes from us choosing to be humble. Beloved, these are perilous times. And I believe God is calling the church to rise up. Calling followers of Christ to rise up. And to walk in the world. To steward our spaces. As Jesus taught us to. With passion. With clarity. With humility. neither overestimating or underestimating who we are, but knowing we are loved by God, knowing we are filled by God, knowing we are faulted and fallible and need God. And so we lead with humility in whatever space God has given us to steward. How will you steward your spaces over the next few weeks? How will you steward, how will you fill and hold as cherished your spaces that the God of all creation might enter in and might use us to make of every space a space filled with love and grace, where like the sinner and the sparrow of the anthem, we might truly create and find home. God, we need you. You have blessed us, like the psalmist said, to see the magnificence of your creation. You've allowed us to understand our smallness in that, and also our chosenness and our role to steward every space our feet fall. Guide us in humble ways to articulate our space and to steward it well. We need you in these days. Make us able stewards of our spaces. Our God, we pray in your Son's name, in Jesus' name. Amen.